I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Happiest of Tuesdays to you.
Happy December in real life.
Yes. Correct.
It's been December in
their lives.
Your lives already. But in our lives, it's just now December.
In our lives, it's just now happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, a little behind the scenes. We're here today to talk about a movie called The Void.
Yes, we are.
But first, we have a little game, and you at home can play along.
Yeah.
Tell them about it.
Oh, it was your idea.
I'll tell them about it. We went on YouTube, and we ripped the sound from horror movie trailers. We're going to play those horror movie trailer sounds for you to guess, for each other to guess.
Exactly.
What the movie is. Yeah.
And we're going to hope we don't get copyright striked.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. That'll be fun.
Yeah. There was one, we spun a wheel to pick the movies, because we're only doing movies we've done episodes on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones, I do think I have to skip it, because it's, the trailer's just like a song, and it's definitely a copyrighted song, I think, so.
Oh, is it?
I had to skip that one.
Is it the Us?
No.
Oh.
It was, I'll just tell you because I'm not going to do it. It was Krampus.
Oh.
It just starts with a holiday song. Although maybe it's not, I don't know what version it was, if it's in the public domain or not yet, you know?
Do podcasters get copyright strikes for reviewing and playing games with?
Well, if we're putting it on YouTube, yeah, you can't just like take other people's stuff.
This is journalism.
This,
we have to have some sort of rights.
You know what? You're so correct. Never mind. We have journalism rights here. Well, all right, cool. Well, I'm going to guess first. So you play me those trailers, Katie.
Okay. All right. Starting with movie number one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to give you a few seconds? I'll give you 10 seconds.
I would like some seconds.
Okay. Good call.
I just want to tell you something.
That's all you get.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. That was more.
And this is the easiest?
This is the easiest one.
You are my girl.
I love you, Timmy.
Is it The Strangers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
I did not recognize her voice. So I was like confused there for a second.
Oh, yeah. No, that's her. Liv Tyler.
And it sounded like they were lighting a match, which also kind of threw me off.
Yeah,
but I guess they like light candles
candle.
When they,
Mm-hmm.
I think I just immediately thought of The Others, because the poster is her holding that like,
a
candle or like a gas lamp or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was in my head and then I couldn't get it out.
Yeah, so fair. Okay, next one. And I have ordered mine in what I perceive to be easiest to hardest. I don't know if I led with that. So here's the second easiest. This is movie number two.
Adrian. He was a sociopath. He said that I could never leave him.
The Invisible
he controlled.
Man.
Correct. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Perhaps easier than the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it sounded like explosions going off at first, which kind of threw me off.
Yeah, it's just that they have a name for that noise where it's like a faraway explosion. Like, that's a thing. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, next.
Okay, next movie. Movie number three.
Mayday. Mayday. Is the beauty. This is U.S. Station 31. You read me? Found something in the ice. We need some help down here. Can anybody hear me?
The Thing.
It is The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ice gives it away.
The ice was a tell. Yeah, mm-hmm, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one. I think this is the first medium ranked.
Ooh, okay.
We're doing seven, by the way. This is movie number four.
There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby.
Anything?
Is that one of the screams?
No.
Oh, it sounds like the song at the beginning of one of the screams.
Oh?
Yeah.
I'll give you some more.
Thank you.
Half a suffering and a paradox to blame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker. We kill the flame.
You don't think I'm a bad person?
All I think is that I love.
Is it Candyman?
No.
It sounds like Tony Todd. This is like deep voice.
Oh, yeah, the singer.
We kill the flame.
Oh, I swear there was one more line of dialogue.
Yeah, I'm like, it's just the song, so I'm like...
Love will set you free.
That was a big hint.
I know, and I can't think of what it's from. Bones and All?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I was like, that was Timmy talking, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Timothy Chalamet.
Okay, yeah. The love will set you free. I was like, I know what that's from. I just can't think of what it's from.
Yeah. I figured you would have recognized his voice, but to your point, it was kind of hard to hear.
No. If he's not talking about Milk Duds, I don't know shit about Timmy.
Milk Duds. Ready?
Yeah.
This is movie number five.
I don't understand why we're doing this. We barely know these people.
It's one day. Let's mix things up a bit.
Yeah. You're just happy you found your fan club.
What do you think?
Well, I heard an accent.
Okay.
I don't know why we're doing this. It's only one day. You found your fan club.
This is the first hard one, by the way.
I don't know.
I'll give you a little more.
Okay.
I've been waiting 6 years for your second book.
Oh, Infinity Pool.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Infinity Pool.
I tried to erase that from my entire memory. But
yeah, well.
I heard Mia Goth. I knew.
Yeah. Honest to God, I forgot she was in it until I watched the trailer.
She is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, movie number six, I believe we're on.
It needs a little work, but I don't think it's going to last long at this price.
There's a pool.
Night Swim.
Night Swim.
That's the easiest one.
That was so easy. Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
You say pool, Night Swim. I know. Yep.
But there's a little theme there. You hit Infinity Pool, Night Swim.
Yeah, you got very water themes.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
I walked across an empty land.
This is a good
play
song.
The Darren Criss version. You know what I mean?
Straight up.
Welcome home, honey, where you belong.
It's loud.
Yeah. Okay. Come home, honey.
Welcome home, honey.
Welcome home, honey.
Where you belong.
Where you belong. Ooh. Okay. No, I got nothing.
More.
Yeah.
I know. You struggled.
What I did.
Yes. We liked it. But help is here.
He struggled with what he did, but help is here.
Yeah.
In his home, where he belongs.
In his home, where he belongs.
Need some more?
Yeah.
Where have you gone?
Good morning. I know I'm not who you expected to see. Just know I'm only here to help, and I look forward to meeting you all.
Is it Midnight Mass?
It is Midnight Mass.
Oh my gosh, I recognized the father.
His voice, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yes. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you Welcome go.
He does. He regrets what he did. He had to go home.
Yeah.
It all makes sense in the end.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You got them all.
Great. I like it. And somehow the first one, which should have been the easiest, was the hardest for me. That's crazy. No.
Yeah. Well,
Bones and All was hard.
Bones and All, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a hard one.
That was.
Yeah.
All right. Your turn.
Hooray. Are these in order from easiest to hardest?
I tried to, yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, I did my best. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just never know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should, because I did extra just in case we had overlap. And I feel like I should get rid of the first one because it's so easy, but I think it'll be funny, so I'm still going to do
okay.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready. Jaws.
No.
Jaws 2.
Jaws 2.
Oh, shoot. That's crazy.
I was like, she'll get this in 2 seconds because she's going to say Jaws, and then I'll say no, and then she'll immediately go to Jaws 2.
So yep.
Exactly what happened. I knew.
Amazing. Easy.
Okay, next.
Uh-huh. The Fly.
Is it like any other?
Wow. Yes. I'm cooking.
I knew that. I kept laughing because every single one, I would spin the wheel, I'd listen to the trailer, and it was just like, immediately you know what it is.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, next one. Still easy.
Okay.
Hi, this is Mike. I was just calling to see if that job that you offered was still available.
FNAF.
Yes.
I would know Josh Hutcherson's voice anywhere.
Yeah, that's PETA. Hello.
PETA Malark. Easy. Wow. Finally something I'm good at. But
you're killing really it. Easy. Okay, next one.
Hi, good afternoon, ma'am.
Are you interested in learning about our Savior, Jesus Christ? Hi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know it.
I do.
Can you think of the title of it, though?
Starts with an H or maybe a V.
One of the two, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Heretic.
Heretic.
I can get Hereditary out of my head. I wanted to say Hereditary so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. What a great movie-going experience.
Truly. Very.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one.
Oh, hey, you're up.
Am I in a dorm room?
Yeah, I folded your pants for you.
That's what you get.
Oh my god, am I in a dorm room?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Freaky Friday.
She wasn't in college, please.
I know. Shoot.
Do you need a little more?
Yeah, give me some more.
Okay.
Great.
Dude, did you hit that or what?
Stop global warming.
Stop global warming.
Yes.
What?
That's not really super plot relevant. I would focus more on the dorm room.
Is it Happy Death Day?
It is.
Oh, well, why is she confused that she's in a dorm room? She's in college.
Because remember, she wakes up drunk in the guy's dorm room, and that's how it all starts. She lives that day over and over again.
Oh.
Always waking up in his room.
In his room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, I thought that at first, but I was like, that's too obvious.
That's why I was like, I really didn't think any of mine were that hard, but I thought some of them might trip you up if you didn't, like, recognize immediately, you know?
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Uh-huh.
I can't decide. they're all still kind of easy at this point.
Okay.
I only have one that I think might be hard for you.
Okay.
But I can't decide between two of them which one might be harder than the other.
Okay.
But I'll go with this one.
So the boy and girl are making out, right? When they hear over the radio that this lunatic killer's escaped from an insane asylum.
That's not the way it goes. The boy goes for help and the...
That's all you get. 10 seconds.
Okay. I mean, it sounds as if they're describing Halloween.
Okay.
But we didn't do anything but Halloween, and that's not Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay, a little more, please.
All right.
Girl stays in the car, and she hears this, like, scratching sound.
No, he's been decapitated. No, he was gutted with a hook.
Okay, that's another 10 seconds.
Is this Cabin in the Woods?
No.
Okay. What the hell? What the hell-y? Okay, a little more.
I think, I think this next part maybe might help.
Mary! With you. What the hell?
Oh my god, he's
dead.
You think he's dead?
You can't just leave him here.
Oh, tell me, little Miss Prelaw, what's the charge?
I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, this one's only going to be hard if she doesn't immediately recognize Freddie Prinze Jr.'s voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not what I recognized. What I recognized was, we can't just leave him here.
Yeah, I know. But I'm thinking, like, he talks very, like, he's the first person to talk.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why when I was, like, deciding the level of difficulty, I was like, if she recognizes right away that it's him talking, mm-hmm. she'll get it. But if she doesn't, she won't. So I was like, I'll take the risk.
Good one. Good one.
All right. Last one. Sorry, that was loud.
That sounded like Friday the 13th at the beginning.
It does. It is not.
Okay.
Do you need more?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Camp Bloodbath is the granddaddy of all campsite slasher films.
Oh, that's his mom, plays Nancy. This is Final Girls.
It is. Yes. Good job. Wow. I was wondering if you would remember that.
Yes, of course. Wow. I like that movie because it is the same plot as the Nothing Can Stop Us Now ride at Disneyland.
Of course. Yes. Mm-hmm. As many people have said.
Yeah. Everyone who is.
Almost everybody. Yeah.
Much. Yeah. Well. Wow. What a fun little game we came up with.
You on our came own. Up with. That was great. Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah, good. Good, good, good. Well, amazing.
Do you want to know the movies I didn't do?
Oh, yeah, please.
I cut VHS Halloween.
Was it obvious?
Kind of.
Okay.
It was like, trick or treat right away. So it was like, only so many movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I cut was 28 Days Later. Because it starts with, like, the sound of the chimpanzees. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the only movie we've done that had monkeys in it.
No.
Oh my god, you're so right.
That's what I would have guessed.
Yeah. Wow.
Until we see that new movie, Primate.
You know what? Cannot wait.
It can't be that bad.
It seems like they know that it's... stupid.
You know what I mean?
I got that they knew that it was funny.
Oh, no, I got that they were taking it way too seriously.
Oh, uh-oh.
But that everybody else was going to take it funny.
Maybe I gave them the benefit of the doubt too quickly. I guess we'll find out. What, in January? Does that come out?
Probably.
Find out next episode when we talk about new releases. For January.
If I had to guess when a film about a killer chimpanzee was coming out, it would be January.
Yeah. Valid.
Great.
All right, well, shall we talk about The Void?
Let's do it.
Okay. Little rundown. Plot-wise, Shortly after delivering a patient to an understaffed hospital, police officer experiences strange and violent occurrences seemingly linked to a group of mysterious, hooded figures. It's written and directed by Stephen Kostansky. It's written and directed by Stephen Kostansky and Jeremy Gillespie. It stars Aaron Poole, Kenneth Welsh, and Daniel Fathers, as well as kind of like a little ensemble cast they got going on there. It had a budget of around $82,510. Very specific number for it to be around, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. And it made $377,624 at the box office. That was worldwide. However, from what I could tell, it did not get like a wide theatrical release. And it was also put on VOD the same day that it went on theaters. So as we know, that kind of sometimes impacts how much it makes.
Sure.
It currently has a 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 48% audience score, and a 78% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Quite the little spread there.
Yeah, 30%. Amazing. Did you say $82,510?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A quick little tidbit.
Oh, yes.
We'll just get right into the fun facts.
Love.
So the creature effects budget for this film was crowdfunded on Indiegogo.
Yes.
That's exactly how much they raised, $82,510.
Yeah.
But that's not all of the funding or the entire budget of the film. They also had some financiers in addition to that.
Good. Got it. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Because the Wikipedia page just said over that amount. So I guess that's the amount we know for sure that they raised. And then other funding, we don't really have. We're not privy to that information.
Yeah. We just know that there are financiers.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that because one of them dropped out the day they were meant to start filming.
Damn.
And delayed the film.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah. But before we get into any more fun facts.
Great.
I did do my homework on Lovecraftian, the definition of Lovecraftian.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel?
One thing that I did find specifically was that Lovecraftian films or art does not lean into gore.
Mm.
I'd say that this film does do that a little bit.
Yes.
So I don't know that having a storyline that you don't explain is enough to make a film Lovecraftian, because they do that. And part of the Lovecraftian thing is having unexplainable.
Yes, it's things. Very like otherworldly, cosmic, existential horror.
Yeah, which I think I got that a little bit.
Yes, I do think it's a mix between that and other things.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is what they were going for. In all of the things that I read, they listed 1.5 million different references that they were using when they were making this, so.
Yeah. Lots of inspiration. One of which was The Thing, which I, obviously, having seen The Thing, was a little privy to. I mean, the monsters are very Thing-like.
Yes. Very much. I feel like when I watched this, I was like, these people love The Thing, and they love Hellraiser. It's those two things. I know we haven't done that on the podcast yet, but
I know he's like weird, and what I do know of him, I would say could potentially be Lovecraftian.
Mm-hmm.
He comes.
Yes, when you solve the puzzle box, he does come. Other references that they used: John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness. Big Carpenter fans, these people, let me tell you what. Mm-hmm. But that, The Thing, obviously, Blair Witch, Hellraiser, Alien. They said the Silent Hill games.
Mm-hmm.
They also said, Gillespie specifically said that he was reading a lot of Thomas Ligotti, which is a horror author who's said to be like the new Lovecraft. So,
yeah,
definitely those types of references. And they said they were just trying to make a movie that felt like the horror movies that scared them when they were younger. And so they were just pulling from a bunch of different things, but that they kind of had to keep stopping themselves if they got too like something. So mm-hmm. they said that was kind of a constant struggle of reeling themselves back.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you mention the fog also?
Oh, no, but yes, you're right. That was in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Silent Hill, there. I can see.
Yeah.
I can definitely see Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. Troy James, the contortionist actor that was in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, that's episode 140, perhaps, of Killer Cuties podcast. It's not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Was also in this film. He played one of the monsters in this film. I watched his audition tape. It was, as you'd expect,
very fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nice. It was 144.
I was
very close. Yeah. I had to look it up. I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
I do want to go back real quick just to their Indiegogo campaign to crowdfund the project. A, they were raising the funds, which they kind of explained in interviews before the movie was even made when the crowdfunding thing got really popular. Mm-hmm. They basically just said, typically when you get a movie financed, you get the money when you start. But that doesn't work for a movie like this where you're doing practical effects for these monsters. Like, that all has to be ready before you start filming. So that was basically what they were raising money for, was the cost that it was going to take to do those creatures. The campaign got support from Vincenzo Natali, who did, he directed Cube, which we've talked about.
And also, this had Cube vibes.
Yeah. And also the Soska sisters, who did American Mary. So...
Oh, I liked American Mary.
It's kind of fun, yeah.
That was a fun one.
Yeah. But anyways, a couple other horror directors as well, but those two were relevant to us since we've done episodes on them.
Wow. Fun.
Yeah. And then
all
they also
raised for them was $82,000. Come on, guys.
Well, I think they were just like endorsing, like putting it out there, you know. They got to keep their money for their own movies.
Fair. Okay.
But one of the, they kind of outlined what some of the perks were going to be. So one of the perks, I think for $10, if you put that towards the campaign, you could contribute a sketch, which was included in the book when they like go into the basement and they find all the cult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's like that book of all the sketches. So some of those were sent in by people who donated to the campaign.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. And then there was also a perk. They didn't say dollar amounts for these ones, but I'm assuming they were probably up there. But there was a perk where you were able to apprentice in the effects shop and work to make the creatures for the movie. So
wow.
That's sick. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. And then I think they said the biggest perk there was that you could have your head cast and it was part of the final monster. So
hell yeah.
Some of the faces you see there are people who donated.
Wow. So fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good segue into hardly anything in this film is CGI.
Yeah.
It's all practical. There's a behind the scenes documentary. It's like 22 minutes long or 40 minutes long. I watched it on 2x speed. I don't remember which one it is, but highly recommend watching that if you haven't seen it. It gives you a really good idea of all the work that goes into making all those monsters practical. It was very cool.
Yeah. I haven't watched that. I need to do that.
I highly recommend.
I love anything that's like behind the scenes like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, both Gillespie and Kostanski are makeup and special effects people. So that's what they mm-hmm. typically do for work. Some of the things that they've worked on, both of them worked on It Chapter One. Both of them worked on the Hannibal TV series.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Gillespie worked on It Chapter 2, as well as now Welcome to Derry. He's working on
fun.
That. Yeah, he worked on The Boys TV show and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, so maybe where he knew him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then funny enough, he also worked on the Poltergeist remake, which we are going to be talking about next week. Spoiler.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Kostanski worked on In a Violent Nature, which came out, like, last year, I think?
Mm-hmm.
The Haunting in Connecticut, ABCs of Death 2, and also Crimson Peak, which we have talked about.
Exciting.
Yeah,
wow.
They've had their hand in a lot of different horror movies and stuff. There's a ton of stuff that wasn't horror, too, but I kind of picked out the ones that are relevant to what we're doing here.
Yeah. Well, when they made movies, when they started making movies together, it was largely horror comedies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed their tone to this. And it sounds like now they've kind of gone their separate ways and they're just doing makeup stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely still work together every once in a while.
Fun.
And I think they still have their, like, I want to say that their shop, that, like, they own it together.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they just kind of split teams and do different things. I don't know. That's genuinely me just making it up and speculating. But
yeah,
in my head, they're still friends.
Yeah. Originally, there were going to be more monsters. There were a couple that were cut due to budget constraints. The Allison monster specifically was supposed to be much, much bigger and more of a set piece as opposed to like a prop or a costume. It was like a full blown, like a room, basically.
That would have been really cool. They also apparently, some of the people who worked on this movie, they kind of, I guess, borrowed from Suicide Squad because they were both working on that movie. And they were filming in the same location. So when they wrapped on that, they were like, hey, guys, come on over. And so some of the team that worked on that movie just kind of followed them over and helped with The Void.
Fun. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
That's where they were filming. Dylan's from Michigan. So he one day pulled out a list of, bet you can't pronounce these names, from Michigan.
Yeah.
And that was one of them, because it's spelt Sault Ste. Marie, but it's pronounced Sault Ste.
Fun. I'm glad you are here, because for that fun fact, I deleted that part and said Ontario, Canada. Said, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah. It was filmed, they were originally going to film in an abandoned hospital, but it was unsafe to shoot in, so they filmed in a old high school in Sault Ste. Marie. And then it was demolished not long after filming. Sad.
Yeah. Rip the Void Hospital.
Yeah. But the documentary shows them, I mean, it looked very much like a high school. It had like lockers and stuff. They literally just built walls over the lockers. And then the temple set, they said, was the most difficult for the art department to get a hold of. It was 60 feet long, 40 feet wide, 17 feet tall, made of wood and foam. And then they acetated the foam and painted it to make it look like concrete. And it took 25 gallons of paint for that one room. That's the set with the triangle.
Yeah.
The climax.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know Kostanski said it was really eye-opening working on this film, because typically he'll be in charge of like the special effects that he's doing for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if he has a project that needs to get done in a tight deadline, he's like, oh, okay, like I just do it. And it may take me 16 hours, but I just do it because that's my job. And he's like, it's very different when you have to give that work to someone else. He's like, I'm much more mindful about it because I'm not going to just give someone 16 hours of work and be like, I need this by tomorrow. So he's like kind of felt a lot different being in that delegator position rather than just taking on the work yourself.
Sure, sure. Speaking of Kostanski, the movie's tagline, There is a Hell, This is Worse, is from his short film Insanophenia.
Mm-hmm.
Which, have you seen it?
I watched like a couple minutes of it just to get the vibe of it.
It's like, it's kind of like claymation sort of, right?
At the start, yeah, there's claymation and then it goes into live action.
Okay. That felt more Lovecraftian than this. What do I know? I just learned the word Lovecraftian the other day.
Yeah. I think this is gory Lovecraftian.
Yeah. But Lovecraftian, by definition, does not rely on gore. So it's a little, you know.
Yeah. I think maybe you're sticking too much onto, like, the definition of it. Like, it's...
Well, that's, you know, what do we have to go off of if not the definition?
Yeah. That's fair.
Thank you. I have a Killer Cuties exclusive fact. It's true.
Oh, yeah, as it should be. Thank you.
Not a fake fact.
Great. Hit
a
me.
Killer Cuties exclusive fact. Mike Biscov, who plays Simon, this is not the exclusive fact. He was cast right before the shooting started on this film. The exclusive fact is that his parents have a photography and travel blog called 5050 Travelog. And they posted about, they have a blog post about going to London to see their son's first movie premiere. And they say that they thought that Mick was stellar in his first film. It's actually really cute.
That does sound very cute.
And it has very good, they're very talented photographers.
Yeah, we love supportive parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I say, I thought you were almost going to say my possibly exclusive Killer Cuties fun fact.
Oh.
Because it's also about him.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I'm going to have to rewatch it because I only noticed near the end. And I was like, wait, did he talk at all?
Yes, he does.
I don't remember him having any lines. And at least in the last half, he doesn't.
Wait, even when isn't his that dad a part, is like, isn't that a that thing that talk? He can't talk?
Is that established?
I think the dad says he's not going to answer you or something along those lines.
I guess I just didn't take that as like that he couldn't.
Oh yeah, that's how I read it. I read into that.
Except for just now when I said he doesn't talk and you said he does.
No, I'm pretty sure he has a line.
Well, why would he if he can't talk?
I don't know.
You're contradicting yourself. In your own answer.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, when he first said that, I took it as, oh, this guy's not going to, like, he can't talk.
But then he did talk?
And then I'm pretty sure he has.
I'm going to have to rewatch it.
Yeah, somebody tell us in the comments.
I can't remember. It was like over halfway through. And then the whole scene with like him and his dad is happening. And his dad's just talking the whole time. And he's just not saying anything. And I was like, wait. Does he not talk this whole movie?
Hold on. Give me a moment. Yeah, no, he can't speak. Due to an injury, it says.
Interesting. I don't remember that being established.
Yeah, the dad makes some offhanded comment about, like, he's not going to answer you or something along those lines. It's in a moment of tension.
Yeah, I guess I just scanned over that part and then was so interested as to why he wasn't saying anything later on.
Yeah, fair.
And I thought he got hired the day before. He didn't have time to learn his lines.
Yeah. Honestly,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Okay, Killer Cuties fake fact. Mick Biscov didn't have enough time to learn lines, so they took them all away from him.
Yep.
There you go.
I like it. Perfect. In one interview I read, they were asked about a sequel, and I'm just going to read Gillespie's direct response.
Okay.
He said, yeah, we have been asked about that many times. It's the unfortunate reality of making a movie. You're kind of selling the rights to get it made. So we don't technically own the property. And if we had the best relationship with the people that did, then maybe that would be something to think about. But I don't know if I would hold my breath on that right now.
Oh, dear.
It's definitely the kind of universe where it's really interesting and there's a lot of room to move around in. So unfortunate sounds like whoever those financiers were, maybe they don't have the best relationship with them. And kind of unfortunate that they don't have the rights to their own world, because you mentioned it's a little vague. I feel like they gave themselves plenty of room to do other things within it. And one of the things they said that they would love to be able to do is a set of graphic novels based on the world, which I think sounds like it would go really well with kind of the vibe they established. So
sure.
So yeah, maybe one day they'll mend that relationship or get the rights back and be able to do that.
Yeah. Get over yourselves. Losers.
It is just sad that that's kind of like how you have to get a movie made, is by just giving the rights away and it's just not yours anymore.
Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah.
We need more new movies anyway. Original ideas, you know?
That's true. But a graphic novel based on this, I think, would be really cool.
That would be fun. You're right.
Yeah.
Fun little Easter egg in the film. Near the beginning of the film, a patient in the hospital is watching Night of the Living Dead, which obviously is directed by George A. Romero. Kenneth Welsh, who plays Dr. Powell, and Kathleen Monroe, who plays Allison, both starred in Survival of the Dead, which was also directed by George A. Romero. So a little fun little nice. Easter egg.
Yeah. I like it. I like the line in that scene too, where she's like, you're more likely to die in a hospital. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
That is where people go to die.
Yeah. That's typically if something's wrong, that's where you go. So
yeah,
it does check out in my opinion that more people die in hospitals than anywhere else.
Correct.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I didn't even fact check it. I thought, yep, that sounds right. And moved on.
Yeah. It does sound correct.
It does. That or like the toilet. I know a lot of people die on the toilet too.
Elvis.
Famously.
Mm-hmm. Poor guy. I've seen that toilet.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of weird.
No.
Not that you've seen it, but weird that like people would take that and make it like a thing, you know?
Well, it's his house. It's in it. They didn't take the.
Oh, okay.
You can like tour his house. Okay, yeah, you ever heard of Graceland? Heard of Graceland?
No, I have.
That's his house.
I don't think I really like registered that was his house.
Yeah, it's his home.
Got it. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Big Elvis fan?
No.
Great.
Why?
I don't know. You went to Graceland.
Against my will,
you were taken there.
My two older force. Siblings. Yes, my two older siblings. My infant younger sibling at the time, I'm talking 3 months old, my mom, my dad, and myself packed into a motorhome with one bed and drove from Arizona to fucking Nashville and back.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
It was, we got to go to one place I wanted to go to, and that.
That sounds like the type of family vacation they make movies about.
Yeah.
Where they're like, wow, this is the worst.
Yeah, it was something. And I just remember, like, literally the only thing I really remember about that trip is how many mosquito bites I got.
Oh.
Yeah, my legs were just like, I looked like I had chicken pox.
No.
That was terrible.
I don't like mosquitoes.
Me neither. I can't think of anybody who does off the top of my head. I bet if I thought a little harder, I might be able to think of one. But
yeah.
Not off the top of my head.
As it should be.
Yeah. You want to know my favorite fun fact about this movie?
Always.
Jeremy Gillespie wanted to call the film Eclipse, adamant that it should be called Eclipse. But Stephen Kostansky reminded him that that is the name of a Twilight movie and we cannot call our horror movie that.
Is that how you say his last name? Because I've been saying Gillespie this whole time.
What did I say?
Gillespie. It's one of the two. Let us know in the comments, Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy G.
Jeremy G. Let us know.
Drop us that pronunciation guide.
That is really funny, though.
It probably is Gillespie.
It's one of the two. I was so confident, I didn't even look up how to pronounce, you know? That's what I usually do if I'm not sure.
Yeah, the only thing I know how to pronounce from this film is Sault Ste. Marie.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, I'm positive that I know how to pronounce that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no. Kostansky said, stop that.
Enough.
It's a Twilight film. We can't do that.
Yeah, around this time? No. Maybe now you could, but.
Yeah, maybe.
Not 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, any other? I have another fun fact, but I'm going to ask you so that you can give one and then yeah. You can throw back. So, do you have any other fun facts?
Wow, thank you for asking, Katie. I do.
Okay. Hit me.
The robes that the cult members wear apparently went through quite a few iterations. They kept like sketching it out and kind of deciding how they wanted it to look and couldn't really decide, but they had a friend of theirs who worked in effects and wardrobe, so they built the first prototype for it, and I guess they just took her suggestions because they realized like the simpler the better, so they were at one point much more elaborate than what we see in the film, and then they simplified it down, which I think worked.
Yeah, you can see her working on those.
Oh, really?
In the behind the scenes documentary.
I like that.
Yeah, very fun.
Oh,
I do, but I have a tag on to your fun fact that I would like
to see. Oh, great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Please.
Thank you. Like we mentioned, hardly anything is CGI and very little visual effects also, but one of the larger visual effects is the cultists. Any scene where there's a bunch of them on screen is largely the same four or five people, but digitally put on top of each other. Yeah.
That checks out.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think that they could have just made that part of the Indiegogo campaign.
You'd think.
You can be a cultist.
Yeah, honestly.
Although, maybe the robes cost a lot to make, or...
They do have a lot, like, they don't look like they do, but they have a lot of structure in them.
That makes sense then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
maybe they just didn't have the time to make them all. Time or budget.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was raining the day that they were filming those scenes.
Ooh.
So they had to keep adjusting. Like they would get it to fall right and then it would start raining and then it would all get, and then they'd have to dry off and yeah. It was a mess. They said that those days were hell.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other fun facts, Katie?
Thank you. Yes, I do have one more that I thought was really fun, also featured in the documentary. To sort of bridge the gap between storyboarding and filming, the crew acted out the entire movie with little action figures and recorded it as references for when they finally got to shooting.
That's cute. I like
so
that.
So cute. So cute. And you get to see part of it in the documentary. It is probably my favorite. Like, it's the most in-depth documentary of any of the ones that I've watched.
Yeah.
It's cute.
No, I'm sad I didn't watch it.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's either 22 minutes or 44 minutes. I watched it in 2x speed. I just don't remember if I sat there for 11 minutes or 22.
Hmm. I guess I'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's rate it, yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 0.5. I think this movie, they do like the opposite of Jaws. You know, Jaws was like so effective in its time. Sorry. You know how Jaws was so effective in its time because they don't show the shark until the very end? It's this whole buildup. They don't do that at all. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes in, they're like, hey, here's a monster.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole point. They wanted to flex their special effects skills. So... yeah, it was a little full on, which I think made me not as tense. Sure. And usually the tension and like the anticipation is where I get scared. What about you?
I gave it a 1 just for the vibes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Creepy monsters, dark hospitals, robed cultists.
For sure.
Yeah.
How sexy did you think it was?
Well, you'd probably expect me to give a pretty high number, but I only gave it a 3.5. I'm just kidding. I gave it a 1.5.
I was like, damn.
No, there was just way too much going on here.
Mm.
There were some like tentacles happening, but like not like fun ones. They weren't fun.
I'm glad that you said that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I was a little worried that it was just tentacles are nothing for you. And I was like, this is kind of some of the not as sexy tentacles I've ever seen. So I did end up, I gave it a 1.
Fair. So fair.
Because like a little bit vibe wise, you know, cults, snow, trapped. Yeah. But those snow. Creatures were not very sexy. Well, not snow, I guess. It's just cold.
You
it
just
looks
described
cold.
The thing.
Yeah. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
This movie, if you like The Thing, great. Got another movie for you.
Yeah. It is funny that you say that it looks cold, though, because it was filmed in the winter, and the day after filming, there was a blizzard.
Yeah. It looks cold. Right? They're all wearing coats. No, we didn't say that fact, but I did have that fact, and I thought it looked cold. Does it not look cold to you? The trees are all bare. They're all wearing coats.
Yeah, yeah. They were supposed to film it in the summer.
Yeah.
But all of the financing issues and other powers going out, and they had a bunch of issues.
Caused delays.
Yeah. How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1, but I was kind of teetering between a 1 and a 1.5.
Okay.
Because I think the whole, like, pregnancy, gore aspect of it. It was a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's insane what they were able to pull off.
Mm.
So I gave them a 2 for that reason alone. I don't know that they did anything nice. Super... I mean, the like face peeling wasn't great. The pregnancy thing was not really great. So I gave them a 2 for...
Yeah.
Just all the work they put into everything to try to make it fucked up, you know?
Yeah, valid.
Thank you.
All right, overall, what did you think of The Void?
This was pretty middle of the road for me, not going to lie. Mm-hmm. It just felt a little disjointed. I felt like the weird monster stuff could have been a really amazing story on its own. Like, if they had just stuck with the thing, great. Or the weird cultist stuff. That could have been great. But together,
the combination.
Yeah, together it was just a little bit weaker. It was just, I don't know. I think overall very ambitious, and I definitely applaud them for trying something new and for being brave enough to take on this whole like concept of Lovecraftian, because me not being in the film industry, it looks intimidating to me. Like I can see mm-hmm. that. So I gave it a 3. Movie alone, not knowing what I know about the film, 2.5.
Yeah.
But knowing that they put a bunch of effort into it and like really set out to make a practical film, 3.
That is a very valid score.
Thank you. Is that what you gave it?
I don't know. I keep going back and forth between a 3 and a 3.5.
Sure.
Because I think it's around a 2.5, 3. Just movie alone.
Sure.
But when I think about this movie, I think about Terrifier. And I think about all of the fans of Terrifier who defend the fact that it has no plot and that it's not good acting and all of this stuff, because it's not about that. It's about flexing the practical effects. And I'm like, this movie is an example of them flexing their practical effects, but also putting effort into those other things. Is it the best story? No. But did they at least try? Yes. Is the acting a little bit inconsistent? Yes. But were they at least like putting in an effort? Yes. I don't think Terrifier puts in an effort in anything else. They just wanted to like do gore for gore's sake. And so also, I just feel like this is a better example of a movie that wanted to flex practical effects and like actually did it fairly well.
Yeah. Also, I don't remember any of the gore in Terrifier.
You don't remember a woman getting sawed in half?
Okay, by her vagina.
Crotch
yeah,
to
I
face.
I do remember that. But I mean, I don't remember it being fantastic practical effects.
Yeah, I mean,
I just remember that happens.
They've done more moving forward with that series, but
sure.
Yeah, I mean, like that's like how people defend the fact that it doesn't have a plot. It's not about that. Well, okay, but you can do that and still put effort into the other things. And
yeah.
So I think that's why I like want to give it a higher score than it probably deserves, because sure. I just like, I respect what they did. I respect the effort that they put in. I think that the practical effects are the shining star of this movie. I think that they're fantastic, and I love that they're trying to keep that alive, because I don't know, in one interview I saw, they were like, we hate that people immediately associate it with the 80s. Like, we know that you're gonna, but we don't want it to go away, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
yes, CGI and all of this new technology is fun and it's cool to incorporate that, but it always looks better when you match it and pair it with practical effects. So
yeah,
I don't know. You know me, I'm a big softie for the practical.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's probably a 3.
That's correct.
If I want to be a really kind individual, then I think I would give it a 3.5, but
yeah,
it's somewhere in there.
Sure. Well, great. We agree again.
Yeah. All right. Would you survive The Void?
No.
Yeah.
I think if I were the main couple, I would make it to like the pyramid. I think one of the two of them, if I were either Allison or whatever the cop's name is, I would do their same storyline. I think I could make it through that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's living necessarily, so it's just a no from me.
Yeah.
How about
it's a
you
little, it's a little vague what really their fate is at the end, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said probably not. In the rare chance that I'm Kim, I do see myself hiding in a closet until other people figure it out.
Yeah.
I think I am not above letting other people handle things I am not equipped to handle. And that does feel like something I would not be prepared for. However, the chances of me being like that specific person and not being like killed before that, probably unlikely. So
sure.
I'll say no.
Okay.
It's only fair.
Well, it is our dream to die together. So
we're the married couple. Are they exes? They're exes, right?
They're in the process.
They're separated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not us. Could never be us.
No way. Well, next week's a big week.
150th episode.
Crazy.
I know. We've really been doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Commitment. Longest commitment I've had in my entire life. And I've been married for 9 years.
That's crazy.
I'm just kidding. It's only been 7. Yeah. At the very least, we would end up in a Lovecraftian pyramid space thing.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you watched part of next week's movie.
I did.
Because you thought that we were doing it today.
Yeah. And I do know a little bit about them.
Poltergeist. Great. Yeah, I was like, do you want to tell the people what we're doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you already did like an hour ago, but.
Yeah, they probably forgot though, you know?
Yeah.
We are doing Poltergeist next week.
And.
The original and the remake.
Yep, both. The both of them.
Both. Which, was it Gillespie or Kostansky? One of the two worked on it, so that's mm-hmm. exciting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. You picked The Void. And then we moved a lot of stuff around, so I didn't even know. I would have never known that anyway, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's not critical.
No. It's a small world in horror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did not know that Steven Spielberg was the writer of Poltergeist last night. But yeah, I do know that it's about a family that lives in a house and they have a TV in their house and the ghosts in the house speak to them through the TV.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Great, yeah. I feel like we've had a couple weeks now of smaller films, so it'll be fun to have one that there's almost too much to talk about.
Yeah, so much.
We won't have to look up one interview. We can get all our fun facts from IMDb.
Yeah, honestly, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Wading through to find the best facts. Is
scouring articles.
I live.
Yeah.
For too many facts and I get to pick the best ones.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we'll get to do next week. And then we're taking a little holiday break, but we'll be back in the new year after that.
Mm-hmm. January 2nd? I don't know. I'm making shit up. The first Tuesday in January.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure New Year's Day is like a Thursday, so that doesn't check out to me. But
yeah, it is 2, 3, 4, 5, the 6th.
Yeah.
Either way, we'll see you next week first.
Anyways, then we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Then we're going to take a little breaky break for travel and stress.
Yep. And then we'll be back.
And then
another year full of horror. We've had a good time.
Yeah.
150 episodes. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for sticking around this long. Or maybe this is your first episode and thanks for joining in.
Yeah.
We hope you stick around for another 150.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you didn't hate The Void.
Thank you.
Tell the people what they should do, Katie.
Oh, they should like and subscribe to start.
Hell yeah.
And then also comment below whether you think that The Void is Lovecraftian enough.
Yes. And if you are Jeremy Gillespie, please let us know how to say your name.
Yes. You know what's something stupid is I have a friend with the same last name.
How did they pronounce it? Oh.
I don't know.
You've never said your friend's last name?
No.
That's crazy.
I never heard her say it either.
Whoa.
Well, she lives in Wales, so.
Oh, yep, that'll do it.
Yeah.
All right.
We run a Hunger Games Facebook fan page together.
That is so on brand.
Yeah.
Can I join?
Of course.
Great. I can't wait to yell at everybody who says Katniss Everdeen is an unreliable narrator.
Well.
No, I don't get me started. I'll rant about it for hours.
Oh, shoot.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week for Poltergeist for our 150th episode.
Bye.
Yeah, that's it. Bye.
That's all.